This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
On Driven, Joy 94.9's multicultural show with Woody, Leo and Hugh. The On Driven represents peace and understanding in our multicultural GLBTIQ community. If you have any comments on the program or like to ask questions, you can contact us in all the following ways. On Driven on Joy 94.9's Facebook page, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Welcome to On Driven on Joy 94.9. Today we're going to be talking to Carol Ann, who comes from the USA. Carol Ann has been on the show in 2010, but we had so many people who wanted to hear more of her story and the end of the story, we asked her back to On Driven to have a chat with us again. So stay tuned to On Driven on Joy 94.9 to hear the rest of Carol Ann's story.
And you're back on Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. Now, we are joined in the studio by the lovely Carol Ann. Now, Carol Ann, welcome to the show. Now, you were here in 2010. However, for those listeners who were not listening to the show back in 2010, can you just please give us a little bit of an intro about who you are and what you do?
Well, let me see if I can remember. I am an American. I was born in Providence, Rhode Island, and I went to university in New York City. That was my first big move, and then from there I moved briefly to Boston, which is actually where my mother and her parents are from. And from there I moved to London, and I was there for 12 odd years.
No.
And from there I moved to Berkeley, California. And from Berkeley, I moved to Melbourne.
Okay.
So there we are.
Around the world, people.
How was it in the Big Apple?
In the Big Apple? The Big Apple was... I was there in the early 70s, and it was a very different place from what it is now. And one of the things that's changed since I was last on in 2010 is that I've actually been back to New York, and I was just blown away by the place. It was just phenomenal to be there. And when I went to university there, it was still kind of in the dark, scary days. I think we had a conversation about that last time. But this time it was a very much more regulated city. And what was interesting about it is that New York, as I remember it growing up and even when I was there, wasn't a place that was really considered part of America. It was very much ethnically, and you can read in parentheses, Jewish, considered to be outside of the mainstream of America. And what has been really interesting since 2001, September 11th, is that America has claimed New York City as its own. And as a result of that, it is, although New Yorkers can still be New Yorkers, there is a gloss in the city of Americana that's been, you know, that has overtaken it, and sort of America has claimed this place as part of its heartland, you know.
Yeah.
I think coming from a person not in America and people that want to visit America, if you ask them, where do you want to go in America? They always say New York. It seems to be a very popular choice for overseas people.
I think it's a great choice to make. But my experience was just very jarring as a returning American. It wasn't helped by the fact that actually when I was visiting, I walked straight into a July 4th parade. So there were just thousands and thousands of American flags, 10,000 policemen, and all kinds of things. And it was America, but it didn't feel like New York to me.
Mm. When you go back and see all these flags and everything else, now that you're living in Australia, does it make you feel really proud to be American?
To be honest, it makes me concerned about America.
Why?
Because there is this sprouting of flags that really is quite dampening of the diversity of America, and it's kind of regulatory. It's almost as if the police are everywhere. Mm. There's this assumption of patriotism and this sort of assumption of kind of national identity and assertion that can really sort of hit you in the face.
Has it become too controlled, do you think? Like too
organized? You know, it's funny that we're talking about it because I'm actually not there. So I think some of my impressions of it are the impressions now of a visitor.
Yes, yes.
Rather than of somebody who lives there.
Yeah.
I think anyone who lives in Australia but comes from a different country, I mean, myself included, when you go back, it's hard to identify yourself with that country again because you've been away for so long.
Yeah.
So is that what you're saying, that you don't feel it's your country? Or
it's not that I don't feel it's my country, but I certainly don't easily identify with it. But if we look at the trajectory of those travels that I talked about, I mean, I was always leaving America for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I came back, I unexpectedly moved back once, but I think I'm one of those people who left. And that was a deliberate choice.
I just want to pick up on what you said before about New Yorkers, or New York in general, are feeling a little bit sterilized in your view. Have you had a chance to speak to people who live in New York, and if they see their own city moving towards that Americana style of city?
My conversations while I was there were with people that I hadn't seen for a long time, and checking up. And when I expressed this observation to them and talked about what I saw was the difference, they could see it as well. But what I lack is the experience that New York went through, and I don't want to in any way diminish the significance and the traumatic repercussions of that experience, but I do question, and I think it's important to question the way in which America has been nationalized and kind of pulled together by September 11th, and September 11th has been used for many ways to roll back some progressive things in the States, particularly multiculturalism. And what I saw was New York kind of struggling with sustaining its multicultural vitality. Yeah.
Okay. But going through that whole experience has given New York a bit of a heart, hasn't it? Do you think?
A bit of a
heart, more of a warm sort of feeling.
I love many things about the States. I go back when I can. I have many, many friends there, and yes, I think that it was sort of connecting. But I also, in a way, have to visit and leave and come back to where my life is.
You're on Joy 94.9 with On Driven with Hugh, Mark and Woody.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Leo, Woody and myself, Hugh. And today's guest is Carol Ann, who comes from the US. Now, Carol Ann, you're a bit of a wanderer, aren't you? You've been through a few cities.
My mother used to call me her wandering Jew.
So tell me.
Does that make me a weed here?
A weed.
No. So why, what's this wandering thing? Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I think we travel for different reasons. And my traveling has been, I mean, some of it has been as a visitor and as a tourist in certain ways. But I think the significant travels that I've done have been more towards looking forward to finding the place that I feel at home in. So I've done a lot of that, and I guess the wandering is about also about a search for a place where I feel at home.
Mm. Do you feel like you're home now that you live in Melbourne, or do you still want to do a little bit of more wandering around?
Oh, increasingly so, I do. I you know, since 2010 when I was last here, I mean, there have been many things have deepened my connection here. I have some wonderful friends. I have, you know, a family here of a partner and two dogs. I have a community that I know very well. I have a business here now. I have I have colleagues. I have work that's mine. I have an office that I go to and come home from every night. And I feel very much now more settled here. But I'm also just beginning to explore Melbourne and to stretch a little bit outside of the city limits. And I make the mistake often of asking people where they come from, and then they tell me where they come from. I don't know where it is, and then I ask where is it near, and then I make the mistake of not knowing where that is either. So I have a lot of travel of
what
information
about
to get.
The cities overseas that you used to wander through? What city would you say brings back memories of being your favorite city, for example?
Well, there are probably three cities that I have loved wandering, and certainly London being one of them. Well, I mean, I lived there for 12 years, but I was always ever on the weekends just drifting around, and when I would walk home from work, I would walk through places that other, you know, that were the tourist places that people would go. I had, for example, a job that was just on the mall, just down the road from Buckingham Palace. And so I would walk home from there, and it was just an incredible, incredible experience. Interestingly enough, it's very different when you're working or living in a place than when you're visiting. Mm. And some years later, I went back to visit London, and I actually saw the changing of the guard for the very first time then, even though it happened daily, just 3 minutes away from where I was working.
What European cities, though, did you visit?
Paris would be another one that I have spent a good deal of time in across many years. Mm. And this may be scandalous, but I've never actually made it into the Louvre for any length of time because the queues were very long. But I just always, every time it got to going inside, I just always wanted to stay out. And so I would wander the streets, and I would get to know the streets and the street life very well, and I have friends who live there, and so I would have the benefit of being able to live in, live with residents and have a sense of the place there.
One of my favorite experiences of being in Palace, I remember very clearly, is it was very hot one night. It would have been about 10 o'clock at night, and everyone was about, and under the Eiffel Tower, the lights were on, and everyone was just on the grass, jamming away with their instruments and just talking and just chilling out and drinking and eating. It was such a cool place to be. It's such a cool experience because you see all these tourist places, and it's those simple things that you remember the most that you sort of take away from that experience a bit more.
Yeah, that's right. And what's extraordinary about the Eiffel Tower, I mean, it is such a surprise. I mean, it's probably the most well-known
landmark
in the world, and yet when you experience it for the first time, it's just phenomenal. I mean, it's this giant machine. And one of my wanderings that I most enjoy doing in Paris, I would orient myself to the Eiffel Tower and I would walk towards it, and then I would walk back away from it, and I would try to sort of locate it in the city by seeing what it was connected to, and then moving further and further out until it was just a little spot on the landscape. And
that's a good idea. I should do that next time I'm traveling.
One of my favorite cities is Amsterdam. Have you been to Amsterdam?
Amsterdam was the reason I started wandering. when I was in...
Isn't that great? Because everything leads back to the square. Everything... there's a big square in the middle of Amsterdam and there's all these roads going off it and you can never get lost. It's so such a cool city to wander in. It's
yes,
great.
And these concentric circles of canals. But when I was in... when I was at university, I sang with the Columbia University Glee Club, with which was a male chorus, and I joined it because we found out that they were going to Europe for their spring tour. So a few of us women went over and liberated it and became tenors, and as a result were able to fraudulently get on this trip and go to Europe. Mm-hmm. And the first place we stopped was Amsterdam, and we got to spend 3 days there because we had a rehearsal and then we had a recording and then we had a performance. And I looked at this place and I wandered around and I said, I'm coming back here. And that became the sort of, I think, probably pivotal experience for me when I realized there's a world outside of the U.S. There's a world beyond where my family can reach me. Mm. And I'm going back there. And that's, in fact, what I did. And that's how I later was led to live in London and so on and so forth.
Great. Okay, we'll come back to Carol's story very soon. Joy 94.9, this is On Ribbon with Leo, Budi and Hugh. And today our guest is Carol Ann from the US. And Carol Ann, just tell us, who was that singing?
That was Ricky Lee Jones.
Ricky Lee Jones, and the name of the song?
The name of the song was Someone to Watch Over Me.
It's a beautiful rendition of the songs. It's been done a lot.
Now, at the very beginning of the show, you told us you come from Rhode Island, New Jersey.
No, Rhode Island. Rhode Island is a state. New Jersey is a state.
Okay, sorry.
But they're the two very small states. And Rhode Island is never really thought of as a state. It's kind of thought of as a
part of
comma between Connecticut and Massachusetts.
Okay, I stand corrected. Sorry.
That's okay.
Tell us a little bit of your background, when you know, where you come from, you know, the type of schooling and everything you did.
Well, my parents were both born in the U.S. My mother's parents were both born in the U.S. in different parts of Boston, and they were from immigrant Jewish families. My grandfather was from Romania. My grandmother was from Lithuania. But they were very much of the generation of Jewish immigrants before the war, who really tried to assimilate very, very quickly into American life. On my father's side, both of his parents immigrated to the States from Eastern Europe when they were in their teens. Mm. And their immigration stories are really quite different. They're quite traumatic immigration stories. But then again, so was everybody's at that time. But, you know, they were people who came, you know, young people who came in through Ellis Island, settled in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and built lives from there. But interestingly, they were cousins from the old country. And they married here.
Being.
Well, that's an interesting question, because it was the part on the border of Poland and Russia that changed hands a number of times. So really, where they were from is probably up for grabs.
Okay, so when you were young, were you taught any of the Jewish religion?
I was raised in what's called a conservative Jewish family, and I went to Hebrew school 3 times a week. I went to Sunday school. I was taught all the sort of the forms of it, but was my family religious? No, but they were practicing in a way that was expected and that was part of the community that I grew up in. Their parents were more religious and observant than my parents were. My parents were very, very involved with assimilating, but interestingly, assimilating into a Jewish American culture, which itself replicated a certain kind of aspirational affluence in America itself. So we had all the kinds of things in our community that you think of as affluent America, but they were very much from a Jewish community perspective.
So how much of that background influenced the way you are now, whether you still carry part of it, especially going to Hebrew schools, or if it doesn't really play a role in your life?
I think what I learned in Hebrew school was to question things, because I would hear a lot of things that I didn't understand and that I wanted to know more about. And again, most of us who were there because we had to be. So it wasn't exactly something that was sort of a chosen thing, but I was really quite interested in it and wanted to sort of...
Wanted to learn. Okay, we'll come back to Carol Ann's story very soon.
And you're listening to Joy 94.9 Orange Ribbon, and we are joined in the studio by Carol Ann. Now, Carol Ann, what's the story behind that music?
Oh, well, I think it's a story of my aging, really, because I that's a Stephen Sondheim song from Sweeney Todd. And I've never seen Sweeney Todd, but there's something in the lyrics of that song that I'm just really drawn to, and I think have a lot to do with my wandering story, because my wandering story, although we've been talking about places, has much more importantly been about people. And the trajectory of my travels has been much more about going towards relationships and people that I've met. And why that song? Because in that song is this gorgeous optimism or belief that people can be perfectly protective of each other and take care of each other. And of course, I'm listening to that song and I'm knowing sort of that this is going to end in tears. You know, that there's something that we can't protect each other in the way that we wish that we could. And so invariably, there's a disappointment in it and a betrayal and a failure of those things at certain times, because we so want to do that, but at the sort of height of connectedness and love and passion, and we make that promise to each other.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the UK. So you were in the UK. You were actually on your way back from Edinburgh back to London, but you got on the wrong train and you ended up in Bristol.
This would surprise nobody who knows me that I got on the wrong train.
You stayed in a hotel, you went to the bar and you met someone there.
I did meet someone there, but that someone actually led me to a party where I met somebody else.
Wow.
Who actually became the person who is the reason I moved to London. And one of the things that's different between 2010 and now is that actually I haven't been in touch with this person for many, many years. And bless Facebook, she found me.
Wow.
And got in touch. And it was an amazing and continues to be an amazing experience to reconnect 30 years later with someone. You know, we both have between us 60 years of changing experience to share with each other, and wonderfully we get to see what it was, you know, a recognition of what it was that
you have a lot to talk
we
about.
Started with before the theme of that song, previous song, yes. Happened. And interestingly, she's going to probably be the first person who comes and visits me in Australia.
Really?
So there's going to be this, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous circle if you wait long enough.
And you haven't seen her for, as I said, a long time.
Over 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a friend recently who I hadn't seen for 22 years.
In Scotland?
And she's Scottish, but she's actually living in England now.
Okay.
And her daughter, who I knew as a little girl, she actually found me for her mother, and we've just connected back together. And it's a really nice feeling. And as you say, you know, Facebook, thank God, you know, you can reconnect with people after such a long time.
Yeah. I started with Changes by David Bowie, because I think that's the theme for me of my travels, is that we, you know, you start off with the best intentions for one reason, but the reason things become significant and meaningful is very often something that you discover down the way, and all along things are changing.
So let's go back to meeting this person in Bristol.
Okay.
What happened? Come on.
Give us the gospel.
Let's see if I can remember. Well, we met at this party, and the next day we agreed to meet in Bath, which was actually where I was staying or going to, and had a gorgeously lovely time. And I was then going back to the States, and she was going back to Wales. Her father had recently died, and so she had to return home to spend time with her mother. So we only had a very short period of time together. She subsequently came and visited me in the States. At the time, I was living in Cambridge, Massachusetts, working at Harvard. And I wanted to show her some things, so I took her to New York City and, you know, wanted to experience some of America. And the strangest thing happened there, which is that we ran into my parents.
Oh.
In New York City.
On a street corner in New York City. Now, I can't imagine how many street corners there are in New York City. My parents belong very comfortably in Providence, Rhode Island. I used to go to New York to get away from them. And all of a sudden, there it is. We all
meet. You walked
meet.
Into them.
I walked into them in New York. And
what are they saying?
Did they know you were gay at that point?
Did they know?
They suspected?
I don't know what they actually knew. I know what they wanted to not know. Mm. And that was one of the things. So it wasn't something that was talked about. My parents visited me in London once, and I dutifully took them to Paris, and it happened to be at the time of the French Open, and it was also the year that Billie Jean King was outed, and her sponsors were, you're probably too young to even know who Billie Jean King is, but she was a really great
Wikipedia.
She was, yes.
Unfortunately, I know who she is.
look her up. And anyway, she was outed, and her sponsors withdrew from her, and it was a big hoopla in the States. And my mother was watching the program, the tennis with me, and she said something to me like, well, you can understand why her sponsors would do that. And then she looked at me, and I kind of grimaced a little bit, and she said, is there something that you want to tell me, Carol Ann? And I said, yes. I said, you know, some of my best friends are tennis players.
You're on Owen Gibbon with Hugh, Woody and Leo. More with Carol Ann very soon. You're on Joy 94.9, the Owen Gibbon Show with Hugh, Woody and Leo. The unmistakable voice of Bette Midler. Our guest Carol Ann. Why that song, Carol Ann?
I think it sums up a lot about my life, really.
It's a gorgeous song. Mm-hmm.
Now, Carol Ann, as we all know, tomorrow is going to be Pride March, the annual Pride March. Now, have you experienced Pride March in Melbourne before?
Well, interestingly, I experienced Pride March the very first day I arrived in Melbourne.
Yeah, and is that just a welcoming party for you to come to Melbourne?
I thought it was, and I was very pleased. But a couple of hours before that, I was actually held at customs for about 40 minutes while my bags were searched, and I was interrogated because I had a tea bag in my
suitcase
that I had completely forgotten about. It was something that someone had given me sort of as a token of stay calm on the plane, and I'd completely forgotten about it, and it looked like drugs, and they were just about to haul me into the strip search room, I think, before we sort of figured out what it was. And then I got berated very effectively. And that was my entry into Australia. And then I went out and was greeted and taken home. And 2 hours later, I was brought to this
Pride March
that you put on for me. And I was just really, really grateful for that. It was terrific.
What did you think of that Pride March? Obviously, as a...
Well, it was fabulous.
The country.
It was the one that Christine Nixon was first at. And so I walked into the waiting area, and there she was, and there was the police jazz band. And I thought, what is this place? You know? Australia is a strange and wonderful place.
When you first came to Australia, did you know or did you have it in your mind what you were going to do here as a career?
Well, I already had a career. I was a practicing psychotherapist for 10 years before that. So my hope was if I was going to move here that I would be able to continue to do that work.
So did your qualifications, did they travel over to Australia okay, or did you have to?
Happily they have, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your career then. Where did, what is it all about?
Well, I, where it went, where it was about where it started, or what am I doing here? Yeah.
What's it doing now? What about now?
Well, right now I have a private practice. I'm a psychotherapist and relationship counselor, and I work from my own office in Carlton. Prior to that, I had a wonderful year at the Victorian AIDS Council counseling services, which gave me an opportunity to see whether Australians could understand me, and it gave me a chance to begin to be able to understand them. I mean, one of the jokes is, of course, that I'm learning to speak English for the third time, having started in the States, gone to England, and now in Australia. And you know, if you want to test me, we can see how I'm doing.
What's your favorite Australian expression?
My favorite Australian expression is no worries.
No
because
worries.
It's just so not true. And I love it, but you say it with such gorgeous, casual conviction.
So relationship therapist, you said that you, that's your job right now. What's the biggest problem that relationships are facing these days? What's the biggest thing that keeps coming back to you, people come see you, and it's a common theme happening?
That's a wonderful question.
Is there a common theme happening at the moment?
Listen, I think all relationships are different, and I think problems are different, but I think that there are the stresses of getting to know each other, and there are the illusions that early connection generates, which are, they're not it's not that they're not true, but we get held in a bubble for a while, and then at a certain point reality has to intervene. And I think that's often a time that's very difficult for relationships, when they have to sort of step outside of that bubble and interact with the world, and then you discover that you're different people and you have different needs and react differently to situations. And that can be quite a challenge.
And it's very hard to get through that as well, I guess.
And people. How to get through that. Mm.
Do you deal with same-sex couples? Or
yes, probably half of my practice is working with...
Is there a difference between the relationships of same-sex couples and a man and a woman?
You know, I think fundamentally, on an emotional level, there are a lot of shared problems. I think that though straight couples have a kind of cushion of acceptability, you know, of being accepted and normal in a way, and so there are things that they don't even have to consider, unless somebody has married someone that their family disapproves of in a way. There's usually sort of a cushion of conventional support that surrounds...
Comfort.
A heterosexual couple that isn't necessarily there for a same-sex couple.
Do you think that heterosexual married couple have an advantage of being able to get married? Does that hold them together a little bit better than a same-sex couple who can't get married?
What do you think, Hugh?
I don't know.
I think it matters, to be honest with you. I mean, just being really frank here, you're on some paper that you're married doesn't really mean some of the strongest relationships with a man and a woman, or a woman and a woman, a man and a man, who have been together for years and years and years without that official your marriage document. Do you know what I mean? So
look, I think there are a lot of things to question about that paper and what it actually means.
Yeah.
And what I would wish would come into the discussions and debates about gay marriage are actually discussions about marriage and what that means, and what it means to seek approval from the outside and legitimacy from the outside of a relationship. And I'm not saying that there aren't significant things in that, but I think that we have stepped away from some of the real the history of marriage and the conventions of marriage in an attempt to seek equality and get what we think will create that that legitimacy. But I really wish in the discussions that we would look at marriage as well as gay marriage.
Is there a difference, though? I mean, gay marriage and... I know it can happen in this country, but is there a difference between gay marriage and straight marriage? I mean...
Love is love, even day.
We're gay, we're a lot happier.
Well, I think there are some hard questions that we should ask about marriage before we rush to think that that's the form that best protects and supports and nurtures relationships.
I mean, it doesn't solve everything, does it?
No, it doesn't solve everything, but it may in some ways avoid a deeper solving of problems.
Okay. We'll come back to Caroline's story very soon. Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Leo, Budi and Hugh, and our guest today is Caroline. Now, before the sponsorships, Caroline, we were talking about marriage. Now, tell me, would you ever consider, if you could, getting married?
There'd have to be a really compelling reason why that was something that...
Wanted
that
to
was
do.
On, yeah.
What about you, Leah?
I have never been come close to that scenario. So I can't... It's not even in my head at the moment at all. If I found the guy in my dreams and I was just made in love with him... I don't know, you know, I mean, part of me thinks I don't need a piece of paper to say I'm married or, you know, I'm with him, because you decide within the two of you that you're going to be a committed couple or you're going to be, yeah, so I'm sort of on the fence because I haven't really experienced that.
Now, Budi, you've got a partner. I mean, would you consider it?
I think... As with any debates about gay marriage, I think the option should be there. I agree with Caroline. I think marriage should be an option that's given to everybody, regardless of your sexuality. So will I consider it personally? Ooh, ask me next time.
Okay.
Now, is your partner listening?
Caroline, you were telling me something interesting. You're a member of Joy. As a single person,
I am a member.
But you have a business.
Yeah, one of the changes since 2010 is that I'm also a business member of Joy.
Now, what made
so
you?
So I get lots of emails.
Yeah, I was waiting to say you must get double emails.
If you want to become a business membership, it's only $165, and you can become a member simply by calling 1-300-569-949. That's 1-300-569-949, or go to our website joy.org.au.
Okay, well, Caroline, I'm sorry we've come to the end of the show. Thank you very much for coming on today.
It's my pleasure.
Have you enjoyed yourself the second time around?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
It's been a great chat.
Well,
thank you for coming in.
That is On Driven for another week. Our thanks to Caroline for taking time out today and having a really nice chat with us. Also, coming up next is Sha Pao Show with Shannon. Stay tuned for a great show. Thanks for joining us on Driven today. On Driven will be back again at the same time, 4 o'clock next Saturday afternoon, with more insights into our GLBTIQ community here in Australia and, of course, around the world. And from Leo and Budi.
And also Hugh. Have a great week.
Yeah, have a great week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.